life is calling, how far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. I go to peacecorps.gov.
And you're listening to... You done? Okay. You're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello, good evening.
It is another evening. The evening of the supermoon. Yeah. Okay. So if you're outside now, or if you're inside and you can get outside, go outside on the East Coast anyway. And I think the sun's going down. I know that for sure. But I think the moon is coming up. That's how the full moon works. It's supposedly the biggest super. Didn't we just do this last month? We had a super moon last month that was the biggest and the last of.
It was the giant wolf blood moon.
But it was an eclipse too, I think. Super. Maybe that was it. All right. Well, this one is supposed to be better, but it's not an eclipse. It's
right.
Bigger. It's bigger because it's closer.
I'm not sure. It's the closest it will be for a certain amount of time. Something to that effect. I don't know.
All right. If that means something to you, go outside and look at the big moon.
Yeah, less one of those categories, so it's something like that.
But bring Alexa or a radio with you. I can't believe we say that now, but yeah, that's how you walk around with a little portable Alexa device and listen to the radio. It's kind of cool. We're listening to BBC Radio 4.
Oh, yeah.
We were turned on to that on the boat. Well, not on the boat, but after the boat when we started listening to radio, and somebody on the boat told us how cool Radio 4 was. That's the one where they have a lot of talk shows.
Yeah, it's very pleasant and really informative.
Mm-hmm.
Great listening. I hear a lot of like news updates, and I also appreciate the CBC updates. Those are really good, and we like listening to those too, from different parts, like really interesting parts of Canada.
You're talking about CBC Radio 1.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, those certain news services are just really great listening, well-produced, and a great source if you want to, like, branch out a bit.
Yeah, they're different, you know, BBC Radio 4, BBC, yeah, and there's BBC Radio 1, 2, and 3, too.
Right,
as
right.
Well. And there's also CBC Radio 2, and there's also CBC Radio 3, but that's only online.
Yeah, and some of that stuff crosses over, and it's like a mix of different programming, within just BBC Four, what you were referring to, it just like it has a great assemblage of like news and then also talk, discussion programming, a wider sort of town hall type programming, as well as like radio drama and really interesting stuff.
Yeah, The Archers.
Yes, The
You're
Archers.
Listening to The Archers, and it's just an amazing serial. I think it's only 15 minutes a day, but still, it's really it's amazing to be able to tune into that. And the thing is, you can listen to it. It's not like TV. You can listen to that anywhere you happen to be. So you can actually tell Alexa, wait, what's the phrase? Listen to, tune into,
play.
Okay, Alexa, play BBC Radio 4, and she'll say, okay, I'll do that. It's a lot easier than playing us. We have such trouble. Alexa, play WUSB. And she plays some other station because I guess we're not enunciating it properly. It's a difficult set of call letters.
WUSB.
Yeah, I hear you saying that sometimes. And, you know, you sound like you're having a stroke or something. but, you know, it's the only way to get her to, you know, to understand.
Well, and it often directs you to WSB, which is not what you want to listen to. You want to listen to WUSB.
The bane of our existence, WSB in Atlanta. You know, and we always say this to people in training here at the radio station when they say the call letters, sometimes they leave out that first U and they just kind of blur it together and say WSB Stony Brook. No, WSB is in Atlanta. WUSB is in Stony Brook. Say it right or don't say it at all. That's what we tell them.
Yeah, be legal. Be legal, y'all. But, yeah, so there's an interesting span of options out there.
Where else would a radio show talk about other radio stations and how to tune in those other radio stations? But I just think it's really cool that we're able to, in this time and day, whether it's in a car, whether it's in your home, you can listen to radio all around the world and benefit from it. Because, you know, in opposition to what people say, what a lot of people say, radio is not dead. Radio is more alive than ever. It's more diverse than ever. What's dead is the radio. This sounds like a jukebox. Okay, yeah, but what's the point? But talk shows and conversation and controversy and international perspectives, very much alive, very much accessible.
Yeah, and very underrated, I think, in this current climate of streaming services and all these podcasters. Apparently, that's a thing where you have people talking on a microphone and then you're able to download what they say on the microphone
right.
Whenever you want, and that is able to be distributed over the internet.
That's what people do us all the time. In fact, we were one of the first, not this show, the other show was one of the first shows ever to do that back in the mid-90s.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the same thing, though, is it?
Well, judging from the way you're asking that question, I imagine you already know the answer.
Right. So, this thing that is so popular now, podcasts.
Something that's just a podcast and has nothing to do with radio, I can sort of mock and ridicule that because it's very, very narrow and you have to seek out a podcast. But I think podcasting, the concept, is great for radio, and I just wish that more radio stations took advantage of it fully and didn't try and subvert it by throwing a whole lot of advertising into the mix or muting out music or things that just make it impossible to actually enjoy the radio broadcast. You know, we have these stupid rules that make it illegal, literally illegal, based on the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, of all things, to play, I think, the same artist more than three times in a row online. You can do it on the radio. They can't tell you what to play on the radio, well, except the FCC with their opinions as to what constitutes obscenity and indecency and all that. But they actually go a step further online, and they start to decide what kind of playlist you can have. And they say things like, yeah, you can't play the same artist more than three times in a row. You can't play this, you know, because apparently they think that people are out there grabbing digital copies of songs and not buying them. But, you know, if you go to YouTube, you can find every single damn song ever recorded. And that's okay for some reason, because they have some kind of a link to how you can buy it. It's not a substitute. You know, it really is not a substitute. And they need to get their hands off of this so that people can be free to express themselves, can be free to do radio online and spread the magic of what radio is all about. Because I guarantee you, more people will buy the music if they hear the music. And if you keep people from doing that, and if you make all these artificial barriers, it's just going to stifle all the creativity.
Yeah, and the older formats, I think, still have validity when you start adding in removing content, like you said, or overlaying stuff, or having such a heavy like sponsorship model with whatever your podcast is. It kind of detracts from stuff that has been tried and true in broadcast and in different formats. And I'd hate to see some of the artfulness of the conversation and that and so on detracted because we're throwing a lot of business models into the mix. But I mainly point it out because it gets so much of the attention. But as we were saying, like, it's just been highly underrated, the developments in people's ability to rebroadcast radio, actual radio, like we were saying. And a lot of that has people doing old formats like radio drama, older styles of production, but in a new context. We've noticed the same thing with, like, the Grand Ole Opry format, which hasn't changed a whole lot. It's a tradition, you know. It's broadcast widely. It's contemporary.
Out of Nashville.
And it is incredibly interesting and dramatic. And we've got all kinds of that, a lot of different sort of talk and other shows over the airwaves can be so helpful. And even the morning shows on, like, CBC, those radio programs we sometimes see, they basically rebroadcast the studios, which is like a modern version of what we're talking about or what other people have been doing online. And I think it's great to see the mix of all that stuff. And don't just ignore how technologies and different distribution formats have really deepened the audience and the ability for the audience to sort of listen to all kinds of perspectives, compare, and it, I think, really elevates consciousness, and it's exciting. So I see you're looking up something about this moon, and, you know,
they make it so difficult to get the information. I just want to know what time the damn moon is rising.
Well, people must be excited for it because it's been so bright in the evening, very, very light all night. It's really kind of beautiful and spooky at the same time, but it's this brilliant blue, like, luminescence. And
okay, 5:42. That's when the today's what, the 19th? Yeah. Okay, 5:42 is when the moon rose, so it's up already. It's been up for about a half hour. So run outside and look at the moon in the eastern sky.
In our time zone. Okay,
in our time zone right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's we're going to miss it because by the time we get out, it's going to be up in the, you know, it's bigger when it's closer to the horizon because of the atmospheric thing going on there.
Yeah, you want to catch it when it's rising, when it's sort of reached its peak. You're going to be seeing just a very, very bright circle, as you would any other full moon.
And a big fat circle, too. In fact, you can panic and think that's approaching the Earth quicker than it should be. But it's not. It's not.
No, yeah, it won't be. It won't be. You're all right.
Enough. It's a snow moon because apparently we're supposed to have snow at this time of year. And yes, I agree. We should have snow, but we don't.
Can you believe it?
Every time it gets cold, it gets dry. And every time it gets moist, the temperature goes up and we get rain. That's not fair. All right. It's happened like five times already. The places like, you know, Minnesota and Chicago, and they, I don't know if they're getting a lot of snow. I think they are. I know Minnesota is. But other places get a lot of snow, and, you know, we're getting cold weather, but we're not getting the things that go with the cold weather. So, come on, let's get that sorted out somehow. I'm not sure exactly what to do about it.
We're going to have to eBay, like, a snow machine and just set it up on a nice hill or, you know, a very busy street and then make snow ourselves.
Yeah. You know, getting back to Alexa and all these applications like TuneIn, yeah, we have to figure out how to change things so that we can make it more easily accessible. You know, you have trouble saying WUSB or has trouble understanding WUSB. That's nothing compared to if you're trying to listen to WBAI on Alexa. Try it. It's what do you have to jump through to get that? You have to say a certain string or something.
So WBAI is play 99. Play WBAI 99.5 FM.
That's what you have to say. If you just say WBAI, you get something else.
You get something or it doesn't work, but I think it's play WBAI 99.5 FM.
Now, we have not been successful in finding out the rules, how you set that in the first place, who sets that in the first place, but when we figure that out, and I know our listeners can help us with this, write to us, otw@2600.com.
Yeah, it was either scraped from somewhere or someone entered it somewhere.
Well, when
and
we
it's
find
expecting
out what that is, and somebody tells us we'll do it, and I think we should make WUSB Radio 1 in the United States, because we don't have a Radio 1 here. Why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Play Radio 1 US.
Yeah, nobody something wants to be Radio 1. We're Radio 1 then,
yeah,
okay?
Radio 1 Long Island.
Yeah.
Radio 1 Stony Brook.
You can be 99X and Z100, whatever, you know, do all that silly stuff, but we'll be Radio 1.
Once again, we are Play WUSB on TuneIn.
Yes. That's the other thing that bugs me about it, too. When Alexa plays it, she says, playing WUSB on TuneIn. You know, TuneIn is not a place. And, okay, it's great that they're using that app.
It's like an app within their system.
But I couldn't care less. Why don't you tell me where the station is? Say, playing WUSB in Stony Brook. How about that? Or,
yeah,
you know what? If you really have to say it, play WUSB in Stony Brook on TuneIn. You can do that, but give me some information as well so I know I've got the right station.
Well, I think it's like to clarify if you had another app that plays music or streams as well, like I don't even know if VLC would work on Alexa or something like that, you know, then you could discern what player or what program within this speaking computer thing you're using. But, yeah, who needs to know? Can you just make it so it's saying maybe the location or, I don't know, the current temperature, whatever other useful thing, or Radio Free Long Island or whatever, you know, dangerous station in the nation.
Again, though, when it gets into the commercial realm, people start acting stupid and getting all upset that you're listening to commercials out of your local area. What is so bad about that? You know, if I hear a used car lot sale in Winnipeg, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not going to corrupt my mind. Yeah, maybe I'm not listening to a local one instead, but you know what? I wasn't planning on doing that anyway. Why not let us hear different cultures, different news items, different commercials, what have you? Let's lighten up a bit and stop stifling creativity, because there are so many examples of that, whether it's through film, whether it's through TV shows, whether it's through radio, music, you know, all kinds of reading material. It's just all these artificial constraints that really bug me because, you know, I'm in the publishing business, I'm in the creative business, and It's not serving us at all to have these restrictions.
It's very cumbersome and a hindrance, a real hindrance, and none of that revenue is reinvested into the infrastructure, the programming. It doesn't really ever get to the producers of the content, oftentimes, and it's sloppy, and we can do so much better, and we're able to. We're tuning into these things because we're interested in those local communities, and it's just this obsession of chopping up programming and injecting targeted content, and it just doesn't really serve as much as the experience people are looking for, which is what actually is being heard in that area.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we have a challenge. If you're a listener, a new listener. Someone who has never called us before, someone who hasn't called us in at least a year, give us a call and we'll put you on the radio. How about that? You know, you could be calling from anywhere in the world, but you have to be calling now. You can't be calling in the future because you won't get us.
Call us from Greenland if you're in Greenland.
Well, obviously, if you're in Greenland, call us from Greenland, but if you're not, don't feel bad. Call us from wherever you happen to be. It can be downstairs. It can be, you know, on the other side of the world. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. And as you can see, we talk about just about anything. So any subject that you have, any topic, any question, none of it is out of bounds. So by all means, if we see that light flashing, we will try and get to you as quickly as possible and put you on. You'll be able to speak to the world. It's lighting up already. Then you have a chance to do something else.
What's the phone number again? I was busy. I got a pencil.
All right. It's country code 1. Look at that. Two phones.
1. Okay.
631-632-WUSB. You know, will you let me say it all right? Don't you hear what people
no, I got the
when
six
you're trying to say
what's
something?
After the 3?
631-632-9872. Now I'm angry.
9, 8,
country code 7, 1. Area code 2. 631. Exchange 632. Extension 9872. 631-632-9872. Before we lose our calls, let's take one. Good evening. You're on WUSB. Go ahead. Can you hear? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I didn't have the right button pressed. Can you hear us now?
No, I hear you perfectly. How are you?
Pretty good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Long Island here on the road.
Okay. You're driving. Be careful. What's on your mind?
Just the brilliance of that full moon tonight was absolutely spectacular.
Oh, my God. You're driving and the moon is out. It's not blinding you.
Yeah, no. It just came over the horizon about a half hour ago, and it was absolutely brilliant. It's a good way to keep your intentions on the wishes for the new month.
Wow, that's a nice way to phrase it. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. That's so cool.
To see the new moon, it looks humongous on the horizon is because we see with three dimensions on the horizon, and when it goes up into the sky, we see in two dimensions.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's more spherical, or the depth of field is straight ahead. That's an interesting
exactly.
way to put it. Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
But the moon on the horizon, that's the illusion, right? It's the actual size is the way it is when it's up high, correct?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
That's a relief because it's too close then.
It's all about perspective. I think that's a good acknowledgement of our whole lives.
Also,
perspective.
Yes.
Also, well put. Yeah.
You know, it brings back memories. When we were driving in Canada, we were driving all the sled dogs across the country, and the moon was rising every night when we were driving. And it was so bright, it was blinding us, and it was the moon. It wasn't the sun; it was the moon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably closer to the reflective nature of the moon too. So yeah,
yes,
beautiful.
You are looking at
all
sunlight.
Right.
Thank
well,
you.
Love, and the first station of the 90s. Remember that.
That's right.
Been a long time.
And the most dangerous station, in the nation as well. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Thanks for listening.
All right,
we're going to move on to another call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Go ahead.
How you doing? I don't want to cheat. I did call recently.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I got it. It's Suffolk County.
Okay.
At a hill. Did you know? I know. They said no snow, so I figured I'd give you a little snow treat.
Okay.
In the past, Suffolk County had a ski hill.
Oh, yes. Bald Hill.
Oh, did they ski there? They
yes.
had another.
I skied. I skied on Bald, where our transmitter currently is. Not the exact location, but there was a hill there, and I would ski there during high school. I remember this. And
but
we had
did they
snow.
Have a lift? Everything?
Did they have a lift? That's a good question. I don't remember a lift.
Or like a tow rope?
But then
Huntington, Huntington Station area, right by the second precinct, off just off of Park Avenue was a little hill.
Uh-huh.
It was called High Point at the time. And it's called Gwynn Park. They of course, put houses in there now. But they had a T-bar lift. It's a tiny hill.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the whole setup. Nothing crazy. Not commercial. Years ago, I'm talking 40 years ago, at least. No, more like 50, 45 years ago.
Wow.
I was there. I'm not talking about something I heard about.
Well, I was at Bald Hill in Selden, and I remember, you know, we'd go skiing. It wasn't a very big hill. It's the biggest hill on Long Island. And I don't know how we got up the hill, though, because I don't think there was ski lifts.
Was there a rope tow?
I don't remember that. But if anyone out there has memories of this, please, maybe you can help us figure out how we got back up the hill once we went down.
Just why we're there topographically, I believe Janes Hill might be the highest point. That's over by West Hills off of 110 near High School.
Interesting. Well, I didn't know that. But, boy, you know, it makes me even angrier now that there's no snow on the ground.
Right? I'm on your side. I'm looking for snow.
All right. Well, I'm glad we can start a petition or something, but it's good to have people on my side for more snow.
And from Brentwood, you can't see the moon right now because there's overcast.
Oh, it's overcast in Brentwood. Well, it will be out soon, so hopefully you'll see it. Thank you for your call. We're going to move on to another one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Go ahead. Speak up, please.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lake Ronkonkoma.
Okay. Do you see the
moon? I grew up in Lake Grove, and my neighbors used to call it Lake Groovy.
All right.
I'm listening to what you guys are talking about skiing and...
Uh-huh.
Wait.
You're on delay in case you're listening to the radio, so
yeah,
don't be confused.
Turn that down a little bit.
No, but Bald Hill, they had a tow rope
Okay, so that's how we got back up the hill, with a tow rope.
Yeah, but they also had the T-bar like you guys were talking about.
Oh, T-bar. Okay, that's another way. You basically straddle, put it between your legs, and you hold on.
Oh.
You tend to fall down before you get on it, right?
Yeah.
I might have blocked that out of my memory.
I used to take my sister came with me.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I got two sisters. One would kick my ass, and the other one is like, Adam. I'm on the radio. I got to watch.
Yeah, they might be listening.
Yeah, they might be listening, because I ran into that with a friend of mine. He put me on speakerphone.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're killing me over here.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for the memories. Lake Grove, Lake Ronkonkoma, Bald Hill, so many memories here on Long Island.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Ward Melville.
Okay, so you're a little over there.
A little over there, yeah, that's what they called us. And the interesting point of trivia is that Ward Melville's father is the person who donated all the land for Stony Brook University.
Melville?
Yeah, Frank Melville.
So that's right over by Stony Brook somewhere?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Ward Melville, I thought, was over by Huntington.
No. Ward Melville is actually in Setauket, which is a little bit to the east.
Yes.
But we still do, had a rather nice high school, big campus, and it was named after the philanthropist Ward Melville, son of Frank Melville. And it's funny, you know, he died while I was attending Ward Melville High School, and the junior high school I attended before that was named after this guy, Robert Cushman Murphy. He died while I was in junior high school, so fortunately, by the time I got to Stony Brook, Frank Melville had already been dead for a good long time because he was Ward Melville's father. So that's
true. Well, obviously, you're working for Stony Brook.
Some might debate that I'm working for Stony Brook. I'm working at Stony Brook.
You're working for yourself. At Stony Brook.
Okay.
You're a volunteer.
I like that. That's, yeah, volunteering at Stony Brook.
I volunteered the vet's home over there. Like, I
could
go, I don't know how to get from the campus where you guys are out the back gate.
You can get lost very easily. We still get lost often.
Yeah. I watch a lot. When I say watch, believe it or not, I watch my radio like it's a TV.
Uh-huh. Well, people used to do that. If you look back in the old days, people would gather around the radio, and it would be a nice evening of listening to, one of the Jack Benny program or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's just say I pay attention.
Fibber McGee and Molly?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know what that is. I just know that's a radio show. Listen, sir, thank you so much for the memories. And yes, go ahead.
No, Bald Hill was really cool, and that's why I called. And you were like, does anybody have any kind of knowledge?
Well, I'm glad we awoke those memories in you, and I'm glad we were able to share the memories of Bald Hill. And just think that right now, that's where your voice is being transmitted from, the top of Bald Hill. So.
Yes, I know exactly where it is.
Uh-huh.
I know the big monument, like about 150 feet away, is sitting on. Totally the top of the, what are they called, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial?
Yes, but that's not where we transmit from. We transmit
that's
near there.
I was going to say, that's probably where you got your
It's there are a couple of hills there, and that's one of them, and that's one of the high points. But it would be bad, a bad look to transmit from the top of a memorial. We have antennas for that. Anyway, thank you so much again for your call and
thanks
the
for
memories.
Listening, yeah.
And hopefully one day we will both go skiing again on Bald Hill somehow. I don't know how. We'll need a ski lift. We'll need snow. We'll need the will to do it. But anything's possible.
631-632. 9872.
That was fun. From a bunch of people there. Really, really nice to get some community input. And, of course, we are broadcasting all around the world, so we got 3 calls all from Long Island, all local. But I know there's people listening all over the place. So, you're welcome, too. You're welcome to just have to dial a few more. Actually, you have to dial the same number of digits now because we have to dial the 631. Yeah, that's a stupid move. But we have to dial our own area code now. A lot of people have to do that. I think the only difference is we don't have to dial the 1. We don't have to dial the 1. You do. But we can get away with not dialing the 1. I don't know if we're supposed to feel good about that. Hey, you're on WUSB. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Right now I'm on 112, and the other gentleman was right. I'm looking to my east, to the east, and I don't see the moon. It's overcast.
Okay, well, yeah, there's no way to get through the clouds, unfortunately, and that's, it's the biggest supermoon of the month, certainly, if not the year, and maybe more.
I was going to try to get my camera out, but I guess I can't.
So. Uh-huh. I humbly apologize on behalf of the moon and the atmosphere, but, maybe
it's not your fault.
Well, I feel like it is, because I'm the one promoting it. But, there'll be other astronomical events, I'm sure.
Important.
I'm sure there will be. Hey, by the way, your 6901 number still works?
Of course, yeah. That's that's how you reach us when we're not talking on the radio. And this line is for us to be on the radio. So we actually have twice as many phone numbers now as we used to have.
Yeah, we have a lot more phone capacity.
Yeah.
Things
have gotten a lot better at this radio. We always used to complain about how things didn't work. Things have gotten so much better thanks to Frank, our chief engineer, and the support of the university and just the staff.
Yeah, we have actually a lot of flexibility with these studios. We could be running several mixers and remotes and all
we
kinds of things.
We could be doing 4 radio shows at the same time. But do you remember when we used to have to try to get into delay every single show and it was a carnival every time, and not the good kind of carnival, the bad kind of carnival.
It was a crapshoot.
And now you don't even – it's so transparent. We slip in and out of delay like a negligee, It's that
– Whoa,
well,
that's some risque terms there.
That's the first one that came to mind.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
It's like some post-Valentine's
We're negative a lot of times, but mm-hmm. I also like to embrace the positive, and this is a shining example of it.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, too.
Yes, listener.
Yeah, not a problem. By the way, did Finn give you the message? I actually, I guess you guys were out of the country, but during the skirmish, if you will, in France, I was actually in the middle of that by accident.
Wait, which skirmish? There's been a bunch of skirmishes.
Are you talking about the Gaijin protests or something else?
Yeah, the Yellow Jackets, yes.
Sure, okay.
I thought you meant the soccer game.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, what went down?
I Well, I had no idea what was going on. It's pretty sad, but I had no idea. I left my hotel room, and I figured I'd get downtown and, you know, maybe shoot some photos. And I came up in right on the, well, not underneath of it, but right by the, I can never say this, Champs-Élysées.
Champs-Élysées.
Coming up the subway.
Yes.
Yeah, just like that. I'm coming up the stairs, and I see the rain going horizontally. I said, wait, that doesn't look right. I poked my head up, and it was like Armageddon.
Whoa. So those were the armored trucks with pressure washers.
Oh, so it was
yeah, the only thing I saw,
water being sprayed on them. Okay. It wasn't the rain actually.
Yeah,
I
was like, well, yeah, that was going on. I was actually there for a couple of weeks.
Water cannons.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had never seen that close up, and you know, there was fires everywhere, and this is, wow, you know, it was interesting to see all of that, and I had no idea, you know, why they were doing it, and I, you know, later found out what was going on and such, and the weekend after that, I was actually in the south of France. The
uh-huh.
weekend after was actually worse than the first week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In terms of numbers.
Wow. Well, obviously you got out of it safely, so that's good. But those protests are still going on.
Yeah, it's amazing to think they're continuing.
That's what I hear. I keep in contact with friends there, and they tell me that it's pretty much, not as bad, but the protests are, in fact, still going on.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's waned, and I think that it reflects a lot of the sentiments. It's different ways of expressing it and different language used to describe it, but there's certainly some activity in a lot of working people around the world, you know, demanding better conditions and really asserting their
yeah,
rights.
You know, I have mixed feelings about this because I agree with all that, but also, you know, I see a lot of ugliness in this kind of crowd as well. Listener, what were your impressions of the mood of those people?
Well, the thing of it was, you know, being from New York, I had the first thing, I'm like, all right, wait till the cops, you know, start, you know, doing what they do. And I was told by some other guy who I happened to ask him, wait, where are the police besides people shooting water cannons? And he was saying, oh, the police have been told not to interfere in this protest. Now, like I said, I'm not 100% sure how true that was, but just from what I saw, I would have to say that was true. Because, I mean, the only time I saw the police interfering is when, you know, you got up in the cop's face with a, you know, one of those pepper spray bombs, whatever it is, and, you know, after that, you know, then you were in trouble. But I saw bottles of flammable liquid being thrown everywhere.
Yeah, Molotov cocktails.
And, yeah, and I didn't really see the police going at the people like they would here in this country.
Exactly. You know, we're a much more militaristic society. It sounds horrible, but it is true, especially when it comes to police. When you see demonstrations in Europe, you see people demonstrating against cops, and it's like the cops are human beings because, this is not a good thing, but they are getting hurt too. They're not just the ones hurting other people. And somehow that makes it more of a sympathetic thing. We realize, hey, these guys are, you know, just trying to stop them from marching down the street rather than these people are crushing these demonstrators like ants. And also there isn't this superhuman type of quality attached to police over there where if you tap somebody on the shoulder who's a cop, all of a sudden that's assaulting a police officer. You know, you see people in Paris and in Spain, various other parts of Europe, really doing battle with cops, like one-on-one. And it makes you question, okay, so what is it that they're fighting for? Are the cops right? Are the demonstrators right? It's a lot more of an even playing field, and I think it leads to actually having the conversation as to what people are upset about.
That's sort of kind of what I thought. I was saying to myself, geez, you know, you tap a cop on the shoulder here in New York, you know, I don't really have a problem with that. I've done it 1,000 times. How do you get to so-and-so? I'm lost, et cetera, type of thing. But I will be honest with you, in other countries, and I happened to be in a bunch of different countries, well, not a bunch, but, you know, a few different countries while I was there, I felt like it really was not a big deal. you know, to tap a cop on the shoulder and say, excuse me or pardon me or what have you.
Yeah, they seem like human beings.
Where they weren't carrying guns.
They seem like actual human beings that you can have a conversation with rather than somebody you have to fear. And I think that's really unhealthy in our society.
Exactly. I never thought of it that way. But, yeah, that's really the way I felt. And, you know, it really was not that big of a deal. I didn't feel threatened or anything like that. I didn't get any attitude or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's pretty much the way it went. But I saw a lot, learned a lot, and, you know. But I think Slovenia, a friend of mine was telling me that Slovenia is a really nice place to go for photography, which is a hobby of mine. Have any of you guys ever been there?
Oh, yeah. Kyle, you took a picture in Slovenia, didn't you?
Yes, in, Ljubljana.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a really good time in Slovenia. I think we went to a couple different interesting places in the city, some sort of artistic places, I think some squat and other cool old factories. And, yeah, there's just a really interesting energy there.
Of all the former Yugoslav republics, I think they are the richest. And also
I didn't
part of
know
the EU,
that, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Yeah.
They're doing well and have a sort of, I think, thriving sort of a business and tech sector and
border
so
on Austria, I believe, and Croatia and Serbia on the other side. Anyway, listen, thanks, sir, for all the thoughts here.
And reporting, that's great to hear from your travels. I'm sorry we missed you a couple weeks ago, and thanks for listening tonight and calling in.
And it's great that you're getting out there, traveling, experiencing things. That's what it's all about.
You have to do it.
Absolutely. Thank you for your call.
All right. Not a problem, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
And if you're a listener out there, by all means, do whatever you can to get out and travel and explore and learn things. Because, you know, it's so fascinating and interesting. And it is accessible. It's a lot more accessible than you might think. There are all kinds of ways to figure out you know, just methods to get places that you really – like we were just on an ocean liner – that we never would be able to afford normally, but we figured out a way to do it. You know, because if you apply the hacker mentality to things, there's almost anything you can accomplish.
Yeah, and how you approach the experience itself can be, you know, rewarding and what you're looking for and so on, and having unexpected things enrich your life as a result. Like we were talking about interesting radio that we heard about through that trip. But I think the most important thing is sharing your experience with others and being a diplomat, you know, representing, showing other countries that, you know, what you hear, what you see, it's not how everyone is over here. And I think it can be disarming and helpful to humanity and the greater consciousness of people living and trying to sort through everyday struggle around the world and find understanding amongst one another.
Now, speaking of the Yellow Jacket protests in Paris that the listener just brought up, the interesting development as far as all that goes, involving tens of thousands of people in the streets again, but this time they're protesting against the recent rise in anti-Semitic attacks. And a lot of those anti-Semitic attacks are being tied to the Yellow Jackets, which is really very disturbing. Over the weekend, there was a torrent of hate speech directed at philosopher Alan Finkielkraut, the son of a Jewish Polish leather merchant who survived Auschwitz, where we visited over the winter. A group of men called him a dirty Zionist and told him France belongs to us. Do you see the difference between that way of speaking and someone like Representative Omar that we were speaking about last week, who I think was unjustly accused of being anti-Semitic simply for accusing the pro-Israeli lobby of basically trying to influence people with you know, financial incentives and things like that, just like any other lobbyist would.
By quoting a rap lyric.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, to somebody who's Jewish himself. So it's you know, kind of silly. But this is not silly. This is something that is very serious because these – keep in mind where this is, for one thing. It's the home of so much anti-Semitism in the past. I don't just mean France. I mean pretty much all of Europe. Two teenagers were arrested on Friday after they allegedly fired shots at a synagogue with an air rifle in the Paris suburb of Sarcelles, home to a large Jewish community. Earlier this month, swastikas were painted on Paris post boxes bearing portraits of the late politician, Holocaust survivor Simone Veil. The German word Juden, which means Jews, was sprayed on the window of a bagel bakery on the Ile Saint-Louis in the heart of the capital. That is not anti-Israel. That's anti-Jew. It's very different. Very different, and you have to call it out when you see it. And I'm seeing it there. I'm seeing it there. I'm seeing it with some of those protesters. It needs to be condemned. That needs to be condemned right away and stamped out. But by no means do you tell people you're not allowed to criticize Israel, you're not allowed to criticize Israeli policy. Let's just not mix the two together. Because very often Israeli policy goes against what the Jewish people stand for. And, calling that out, I think, is important. And nothing is more inspiring than seeing the Jewish community's reaction to Israeli policy and how they are the most critical people of all. So that is what makes it healthy. That is what makes it positive. But when you see ugliness like this, I don't care where it comes from. And there's accusations now of the Labour Party in England. People are leaving that. And I think eighth person left the Labour Party today. Seven left yesterday, saying that it's filled with anti-Semites, and they didn't take a strong enough stand against Brexit when that happened. I certainly can see that Jeremy Corbyn. It was shameful how he did not oppose Brexit when he had the chance to. The anti-Semitic accusations. I'm still in the process of learning more about that. So far. What I've heard is very vague, but I'm sure there are specifics, and I intend to look into that some more. And if that is true, then obviously that has to be called out. But again, let's not confuse criticism of policy or of a country with actual persecution of a religion or a nationality or anything like that.
Especially not as carelessly as we've seen in the last couple of years, in the last, I don't know, decade, whatever time frame you want to associate, but those distinctions are important, and any faith can be criticized and so on. Any government can be criticized, in other words. But those kinds of declarative statements about the essence of what a nation is to be or should be in light of a specific group, I think that's a much different statement than critiquing power or influence in lobbying and so on. And I think very often there's like a hyper reflexiveness around that and not enough actual nuance to the conversation.
Yeah, I'm reading a quote here about the Labour Party from the latest MP who left, saying the Labour Party under Jeremy Corbyn has become infected with the scourge of anti-Jewish racism. The problem simply did not exist in the party before his election as leader. No previous Labour leader would have allowed this huge shame to befall the party. I've been horrified, appalled, and angered to see the Labour leader's dereliction of duty in the face of this evil. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing the examples, because you need those examples to be able to add your voice to the condemnation and make sure it's just not a political battle of one sort or another, or, as we said, confusing criticism of a regime with attacking a religion or a people. So that's a story that's developing. That's certainly something to keep an eye on. But at the same time, we need to keep going on as far as attacking whatever we feel is unjust. I don't care where it comes from. If it comes from here, comes from somewhere else. I'm seeing all kinds of disturbing things. I just saw that the Trump administration has been trying to give nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia in violation of the law. Can you imagine that? Saudi Arabia with nukes. That's what they're trying to push.
Yeah, my first response to that is like, what kind?
I don't think it's anti-Muslim or anti-Arab to say Saudi Arabia is a despicable regime. Imagine if you were accused of that for simply criticizing what has is known as a murderous regime. They are. Yet they're our best friends, you know. And our administration is getting on its high holy horse about Venezuela, you know. And again, this is you might think I'm taking a side here. I happen to think the Maduro regime is a horrible regime. It deserves to be overthrown, just not by us. We need to get out of there, not be a part of it in any way, shape, or form. And basically, if that regime is toppled and something better is put in place, we can support that, but we cannot orchestrate that. And, you know, I think I managed to disagree with everybody just by saying that, because unfortunately, what I see the left doing in opposing Trump getting involved in a Venezuelan coup is supporting a dictator, supporting Maduro, and that is wrong. That guy is he's not a nice guy. It's not a good regime. It needs to change. No question about that. It just does not need us to change it. We are not trustworthy. Our country is not trustworthy. We break deals. We install horrible dictatorships. This is not just in the Trump regime. This is throughout our history. Do not trust us. That is the message I have. Not the people. The people are great, but don't trust our government because they will double-cross you. Ask anybody who we have been involved. Ask Iran. Iran, well, we put a dictator, the Shah of Iran, in power for decades, and then when he was driven out by the people, we did everything we could to isolate them, and we finally reached an agreement. They abided by the agreement. We broke the agreement, and now we're trying to punish people that are continuing to uphold that agreement. That's not honorable. That's not trustworthy, and that's why I say don't trust us. We will betray you. We need to build something better. We really do.
Yeah, and it ought not to be that we're swapping one proxy for another. I mean, this is in the same sort of months and lead-up that we've been talking about pulling resources out of Syria. And oh, by the way, those resources are going to be diminished a bit with this border expedition as well. So
there just isn't time to cover all this.
We need to light up Venezuela with our resources? No, it's a bad situation, but it seemed to be on, you know, well on its way. People have been throwing cement and rocks there at security forces for months. They've been struggling for months. And people, leadership wise have been stepping up. I'm not sure that was, not going to happen without, us assisting. And there are ways and things that we have done, on a humanitarian level as far as getting aid there and so on. But yeah, entering into another conflict there, it just seems foolhardy and not wise.
Yeah, but I don't know how to pronounce her name. Heather Nauert. How do you say that name? Nauert?
Nauert.
Nauert. N-A-U-E-R-T. I'm sorry. I've never seen that name before. But she was Trump's nominee for UN ambassador, and she's recently withdrawn her name. You've heard the story, right?
Is this Nikki Kelly's replacement?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
For, Nikki Kelly. Yeah, I think so.
That's not her name. And now you're putting me on the spot because I don't remember her name either. Nikki Haley.
Haley. Haley. Kelly. You can't get these people. There's a lot of churn.
Yes.
Got to keep up with the names. Thank you.
There was a Kelly, though, too.
That is.
He's out as well. But regardless, so she had to terminate her own nomination because she had a nanny who wasn't supposed to be working in this country, and that was uncovered, that she had a nanny that wasn't paying taxes, or her visa did not allow her to be employed in that particular fashion. And that is the story that has been circulating over the last couple of days. But here's the thing. There's more to her than just that. It was reported that she once hosted a panel on unfounded conspiracy theories that Islamic fundamentalists are secretly trying to destroy America by imposing Sharia law in 2009. Nauert hosted an hour-long Fox News special entitled Terror from Within, which featured anti-Muslim activists. She at the time introduced the program as exploring, quote, a school of thought that there was a stealthy jihad taking place within the U.S., and the theory is that some in our country want to destroy our America from within. They would destroy America, she continued, by using our own legal system against us, by undermining our financial system, and even taking away our holidays. The fact that we are a PC, politically correct country, well, that will only be used against us. So you have this anti-Muslim, racist crap being put out there, conspiracy theory, all kinds of ignorance. This is the person that they wanted to make the UN ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. But that's not in the news. What's in the news is that she had a nanny. I mean, what is wrong with us? The real scandal here is that somebody who's completely inept, ignorant, and unqualified almost got that position. What if she didn't have a nanny that had the wrong kind of visa? Then we'd have that kind of a person representing our country to the United Nations. Hey, you know what? Maybe that's honest. Maybe that's who we are now. But the real story is that, not the nanny thing. And it's just, it's disgusting to see this.
Wow.
It really is.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah, holy moly. Well, okay.
Where do you even go from there?
A holy molier story.
You got more moly.
A kid who got kicked out of, he got arrested for not saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
What?
It's Florida. Okay, I get it. But this is just wrong, even if it is Florida. 11-year-old kid, he refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and he explained his reasons. He explained his reason. He said the flag stands for racism. The national anthem was offensive to black people. And what did the substitute teacher say to that? Said, well, you know, it's so bad here. Why don't you go to another place to live? You know, and you know what he said to that? He said, they brought me here. Yeah, they brought me here. This kid's intelligent. This kid has something to say. I would put him in front of the class and have, you know, at least one period taught by him. You might learn something. And, she continued, though. We can always go back because I came here from Cuba. And the day I feel I'm not welcome here anymore, I would find another place to live. Yeah, you just wouldn't even try. You'd just go somewhere else if you felt that your country was not serving you.
Such a dismissive thing to say to a student.
And then she said to reporters, I had to call the office because I did not want to continue dealing with him.
Oh.
Well, you know what, sister? You brought it up. You're the one who called him out for not standing instead of respecting his right not to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And, when all that happened, they called the cops. They actually arrested this kid for causing a disturbance because they kept pushing him. Now, I don't know if you remember your days when you were in, sixth grade is what this is. If a teacher started picking on you, you might fight back, you might say things, you might call them racist if they were saying horrible things to you.
I'd upend my desk.
So they said he was disruptive, he refused to follow multiple commands, imagine that. They said he threatened to get the school resource officer and principal fired. Yeah, he threatened them with firing. So that was enough. That was enough to call the cops and have this kid arrested for not saying the Pledge of Allegiance. That is America today. Yeah, I rest my case. And my phone is turned back on. So that means we're out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for calling. Next week we have an abbreviated show because of lacrosse, but we'll be back again talking about whatever happened between now and then, which I'm sure will be something dramatic. You can write to us. What's our email address, Kyle?
otw@2600.com.
And I believe you have to spell out the 2600, right?
You say
the numbers.
It's the numbers 2600.
And how do you spell .com?
Dot.
.com, okay, for God's sake. But please write to us. We love getting letters.
otw@2600.com. That's our email. Write us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We are Play WUSB on the TuneIn app.
Yes, or Alexa.
Tell Alexa.
You've got to enunciate and be patient with her. She's learning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, folks, that's it. Good night. Stay tuned for Finn.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and a soldier for a thousand years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you, for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the red, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him, all the